Morning, everybody. How we doing?
Good morning.
Yesterday, I'm sure you guys got the release on Steve Hyde and Dave Zastittle. Put them on IR, which is always disappointing, but just didn't think that they were going to be in a position to play moving forward, and thought it was the best thing that we could do at this time. And then the two kids that we claimed off waivers, I think that both of them have a chance to come in and compete and see where they fit, whether it be initially on special teams or whether it be special teams, some type of role offensively and defensively. We'll just have to see how that goes. In terms of what we're doing today, we'll be inside again, playing in the dome, so working inside, and it's concentration on third down with some review of the things that we did yesterday. Thought that overall yesterday was a productive day for us, and it's a little bit harder coming off a Monday night game. There's less rest for the guys, but I thought they did a nice job with it. So with that, open up to questions.
John St. Clair was on that injury in practice yesterday. How serious is that?
He should participate today. So.
Was Steve's injury, it had anything to do with him coming back so soon? He didn't have the surgery last year until December.
No, I don't think it was a function of that. It was getting the injury on Monday night and the amount of time that it would take to rehab that, and he's still continuing to maintain and work through the previous injury. So the combination of the two just didn't seem, from a time perspective, that he'd be ready to play at the level that he'd want to be able to play at and we'd want to be able to play at in time to really continue to help us this season.
You talked with Steve. I mean, he's had a lot of injury problems. Is this something that he may not want to come back from? I mean, it's a lot of work to come back from.
No, not at all. Yeah, I think, if anything, he's disappointed that it went the way that it did, and he's worked incredibly hard to play this season, and he'll work equally as hard this offseason to get back. So I anticipate him being ready to go for next season.
He's going to be 34 a couple weeks into next season. At that age, that's kind of...
Yeah, I really like Steve. I think that he's a good blocker. He's a reliable receiver. He is a good teammate. And, I enjoy working with Steve and coaching Steve, and I think that I think he's got a lot of football left in him.
Very unusual for both kickers to suffer injuries in the same year. I've never seen it before. And then both of these guys were your only kickers in training camp. I'm wondering, do you think it's an accumulation of wear and tear over the course of the season? Dawson is active now, but he missed 5 games.
No, I think I don't think that's the case at all. Been in a lot of training camps where you've only had the two kickers that you go into the season with. Sometimes those things happen. We had Mike Nugent last year where he just stepped wrong the first game of the season and ended up hurting himself. Sometimes it's just how the plant foot comes down or a little bit of a twist, and such a specific skill set that... sometimes those things happen.
Coach, is surgery possible for Dave?
I don't think we're... I don't think that it's been ruled out, and I think we'll just see where we are here. I mean, I'd say it's definitely a possibility.
Yesterday, doing some research, the Browns' offense is in the worst scoring drought in 59 years in the NFL. Looking back, your two best playmakers were arguably Edwards and Winslow. Do you regret trading those guys away?
You know, when you make the decisions, you make the decisions that you think are best. And I think that we've had plenty of opportunities to score. I think we have plenty of opportunities to move the football. And... I don't think those opportunities will go away, and there's been a lot of different reasons why it hasn't happened, but the important thing is addressing those and getting those fixed.
How do you, just following up on that, how do you judge the progress of, say, Brian Rybiski when he still has one catch through nine games?
It's got to continue to improve. And, added a receiver. Chancey wasn't able to play or just thought that it would be better for this game with him missing practice last week to be one of the inactives, but he's part of that competition as well, so we'll see which combination of guys is the best each game.
You look at, Muhammad had a big game against the Bengals, and then the Braylon Tradney gets 10 catches since the 8 catches in that one game. Can you tell how much not having Braylon on the other side attributes to that?
Well, I don't know if you can specifically point to how the coverages would change or not change. Every team is different. Some teams you face, the coverage is what the coverage is. That's a system they run. Other teams will push the coverage, so it just depends week in and week out. But he'll continue to have opportunities, and I expect him to improve the production as we go.
The Lions, I think, are last in the league in points allowed, and they get 20 touchdown passes. Don't you see something there where you could capitalize on that?
Yeah, you go into every game with things that you feel you can capitalize on, and really wasn't different last game or the game before. It's much more. Okay, executing the game plan, seeing the coverages that you're getting, being able to go to the places that you want to go to with the ball, and then if the plan you have isn't dictating the coverages you expected or the things that you expected, being able to adjust and address it during the game.
Good teams this year, especially on defense. A game like this, you get a better gauge of where you are when you play a team like the Lions.
Well, I felt like there were a lot of things that, or I feel like there's a lot of things each week that you can look at and see, get a sense of your level of improvement or the progress or your effectiveness in terms of playing the Ravens this past time. I thought the defense played significantly better than what we did in the first game. I don't know how many drives they had of over 40 or 50 yards in that first game and weren't very effective in disrupting Flacco at all. Didn't do a very good job against the running game. There weren't a lot of positives coming out of that game, but I thought that defensively this game there were a lot of positives against a good offense with really the same people that from the Baltimore perspective that played against us the first time we played them. I thought on special teams we could have done a better job this past week than we did, and I was looking for that. It's a good special teams group they have in Baltimore, but I think we have a good group as well. And we missed some opportunities during the game that I think could have helped us. And offensively, I think there were some things that we did in terms of the no huddle, the formationing, and items like that did help us, just didn't help us enough.
There seemed to be quite an upgrade in terms of performance by Kaluka Maeva from the Chicago game through the bye week into the Baltimore game. Can you talk a little bit about what you saw from him that may have given you some encouragement?
Yeah, as he gets more and more comfortable with playing inside, with understanding the defense, and this was true when I met him at USC, he had a really outstanding feel for the things that they were doing there. He could explain all the different adjustments, and he had been in that system for quite some time. With a rookie coming to a new system, playing a new position, and when I say that, he was a weak side linebacker there, but it wasn't in the 34. It was in a more of a 4-3 type system. It takes time, and he's worked at it. He's gotten more and more reps. He's got more and more opportunities. And I would expect as he gets a deeper understanding each week, he'll continue to improve.
We asked a couple questions about Chris Jennings yesterday. I'm wondering, how does a guy who was cut twice by Montreal end up here? I mean, is there a link on the staff somewhere? How do you find a guy like Chris Jennings?
There's a lot of different ways. Some people have connections to either coaches or front office people in those leagues when the Arena League was operating, connections there. You track those leagues with the new football league, leagues that are coming out, you'll track those leagues. And same thing with Kurt Warner or, you know, as you...
And the organization would be responsible for him. Was it the pro personnel?
It's sometimes, Tony, with that, the connection may not be in pro personnel, maybe a college scout who has a good connection to the Canadian League. So it's, you try to draw information from everybody in the building, and you don't know necessarily who's going to find out about a player, but you always want people to share their information, and then you research it and look into it further.
The main reason why Jerome Harrison isn't, you know, getting more significant playing time. I mean, obviously, he had the 120-yard game rushing, and the running of the ball doesn't seem to be a major problem for him. Is that what concerns you about putting him in there?
No, he played last week, and he played primarily on third down, and there was quite a bit of protection required there. He's played on first and second down. You have three running backs, and you're distributing the reps. Want to take a look at Chris, because I think he's earned a look based on the things that he's done, and that was something that we did this past week. And if he continues to progress in practice, I think that'll continue to be the case. So it's one play, three guys, and it's spread out differently.
What's going on with Brandon McDonald, Eric? I mean, you know, he gave up that pass last week, and I think Derek Mason beat him pretty bad on that other Baltimore game. And has he been inconsistent, or how would you describe it?
Well, Derek Mason, he beats a lot of people, and that pass play, Brandon was supposed to have help, and that was part of the miscommunication. So I don't think he was alone on that play by any stretch. As a cornerback, you go through different challenges during the course of the season. The important thing is to be resilient and really identify the things you have to fix. Been with Ty Law get beat, come right back, and no big deal. Go at it the same way. But he'd work to fix the things that he had to fix. So being out there at corner, too, when you get beat or have a breakdown, everybody knows it's usually a big play. There's times where the defensive lineman may get beat four or five times. It's 3 or 4 yards. Nobody really notices in the pileup. But out there, it's you're on your own often.
What kind of season is McDonald having?
I think there's been some... Sometimes where he's played really well, and sometimes where he's had some plays that he'd want back and we'd want back. The thing with Brandon, though, he is a very competitive guy. He's competitive in practice. He's competitive in the games, and it's a function of improving the areas you have to improve in.
Well, Sean just played a lot of years in Detroit, and he's going back. Has he met your expectations this year? And was Monday night his best game?
I don't know if it was his best game. I think he's played well in all the games. What I like about Sean is they score that first touchdown. I think it was the first or second one, I can't remember. Goes and blocks the extra point. I mean, it's easy for a big guy on PAT field goal block to go push, and you're doing your job and you're pushing, but you're not really getting anything done. And Sean gets something done there, and There's a lot of plays like that. He pursues well to the football. Again, at 360, that's not easy to do. It's a lot easier to do it at 190. But his motor runs high, and he can be disruptive in both the 34 and when we play him offset or in sub.
Have you heard, you know, you've been around and he's been around, different things about his motor? Was that a question for you when you got here?
Really wasn't, because in watching the game tape from last season, you saw the motor on tape where he's running the football. So that was what I based my initial impression off of, as opposed to things being said one way or the other.
On Stafford, the Detroit quarterback, well, did you get to know him pre-draft? What did you think about him? Generally speaking, as to what kind of game he has, what kind of game did he seem to have at that point?
Well, I watched tape on him, but in meeting with him and talking to him and interviewing him, really bright, really bright. And his control of his college offense, his understanding of his college offense, outstanding. He'd go player by player and give everybody's assignment. He could tell you, if this happened, then this is what those 11 guys would do. If this happened, this is what the 11 guys would do. And he could answer questions by anticipating where you're going next. There were times where we're going to ask a question, he was already starting to answer it. So I'm sure he's getting that same feel for what they're trying to do in Detroit, and each week he'll improve. He's got good ability to deliver the football. He's made some mistakes, but that's not uncommon. He's made some plays on the move. It was a really nice rollout play against Minnesota. Wasn't complete, but throwing to his left on a rope in the end zone, on a readout by the receiver. Thought it was pretty indicative of some of the things he can do with his arm.
Is the reason his passer rating and his production is so low this year simple matter of pass rush? I mean, of course, it's complicated, but is the pass rush the biggest element in why he struggled as a rookie?
I think you were right. There's a lot of different reasons why that could be what it is, and interceptions I know affect passer rating quite a bit, and he's had some of those. But there's been a lot of good throws on tape. Been some tight throws in cover two, in between the corner and safety. Some nice throws on the fade ball. Does a good job with the outs to the tight ends and slot receivers. There's a lot of good plays on tape.
Everything this team's done on film, going back to the spring, you guys watched it, you know, watched everything that's happened day to day. Do the struggles of this team and the struggles of the offense, did you in any way, shape, or form see this coming in this kind of magnitude?
The thing to me that is most under our control and most important is to not have the turnovers. And nothing affects outcome bigger than giveaway-takeaway ratio. There's been a bunch of times where we've been on the negative side of that. And it affects outcomes, it affects production, it stops drives, all those things. And that's something that I think we should be better at, and you have to be better at. I mean, you have to. The differential in points based on turnovers is significant. It's just hard to win that way.
Be thinking if you could change one thing, you would change that turnover ratio, and that would, in fact, start a domino effect and enhance everything else.
Yeah, the turnover ratio dramatically affects outcome. It always has, and it always will. The difference between the even game, a minus one, a minus two, a minus three, winning percentage is dramatic.
Is there a secondary been so patchwork because of injuries that it's hard to know what you're preparing for? Just out of curiosity, what are they doing with Anthony Henry? I'm not sure whether he missed last week with injury or what, but generally on their secondary.
Well, they've played some different combinations. Another guy that's been fun to watch is Delmas, and met with him quite a bit before the draft. Really, really good kid. Very tough. Big hits on tape in college. Big hits in pro football. Just, I think he's going to have a really productive long career.
With injury, or was it a coach's decision?
You know, I'm not sure exactly how that, you know, how they finally got to the outcome they got to.
Is Josh in practice today?
Yeah. Yes, he is.
I'm sorry.
Sorry?
Quick question about Robert. He seems like, especially coming off an Achilles for a guy his age, seems to be having a really good season.
Yeah, Robert's been outstanding. Robert has really... really been outstanding. Not just in terms of his play, but the things that he does in the room. He's a guy that will have a coverage called an AFC, automatic front and coverage, based on formations. There may be 10, 12 checks based on all the formations, and for him, it changes some. But most defensive linemen are given. Well, usually the defensive linemen are given the call with a linebacker, which way to go, directional call. He's the type of guy where you can say in a meeting, okay, we're going to go through this AFC, and he'll nail 13 in a row. He'll know what the coverage is, what the check is. And that's a great example to the young guys. It's him understanding his job, but him understanding the whole defense and what we're trying to get done with each defense and why. And his play, I think, has been really good. Stout against the run, aggressive, physical, good finish. I've been extremely happy with him.
What's the defensive line? Did the defensive line have its best game of the season against Baltimore?
They played well against Baltimore. I think there's been a lot of games where they've played well. I think it's a pretty stout group with Kenya on the left and Robert on the right, Baby inside, bringing Ruben or CJ or Corey. I think all those guys have done a nice job in the different roles that they've had.